Good morning. Welcome to all those that are joining us for this Shir Erev Yom Kippur, Tov Shin Pei Aleph. Likutei Halachos, Or Chaim, Chelek Beis, Hilchos Netilas Yodayim Lesuda, Halacha Vav, Paragraph Chaf Beis. Maybe before we begin, just to go over some of the real important issues this morning, Erev Yom Kippur. Kaporos, the custom of saying Kaporos in most Machzorim, it has it right in front. The paragraph, B'nei Choshech Yoshev Etzalmoves, a person says that paragraph three times, and then they say the sentence, Ze Chalifosi, Ze Tmurosi, Ze Kaporosi, while waving either a chicken or money over your head. If it's a chicken, you would say, Ze HaTarnagol Yelech Lamiso, Va'ani Ekones Velech L'chaim Toiv Maruch Malasholim. If it's money, the person says, Elu Hamois Yelchu Litzdaka, Va'ani Ekones Velech L'chaim Toiv Maruch Malasholim. The three words, Tmurosi, Kaporosi, and Chalifosi, the first letters, Ches Tov Chof, make up the name of the angel who is appointed over Parnasa, the angel whose name is Ches Tov Chof. The last letters of Poseach Es Yodecha. And also in V'chol Ma'aminim, if you recall, which we said on Rosh Hashanah, we're going to say it again on Yom Kippur, we say there, HaChoseich Chaim L'chol Chai. Hashem who carves out, who cuts, slices out life for all living beings. That word Choseich, Choteich, Ches Tov Chof. That's the name of Hashem that's being employed, aroused when we say this tefillah. Then there's the famous Tfilah Zaka, which is something fabulous, which was written by the author of the Chai Yodam. It's something that's very similar to our Likutei Tfilos, for which there's nothing like it in the world. This is a tefillah that's said on Erev Yom Kippur. It's about 6-7 pages, and it says everything you would possibly want to say just about regarding the tshuva process. Many people, most people say it once on Erev Yom Kippur. People, the men or whoever it is, tries to come early to shul because in order to be able to put on the talis with a bracha for Kol Nidre, it's got to be before Shkia. And in general, a person always wants to be early for shul, but especially on a day like this, Erev Yom Kippur, you want to try to be earliest, the best you possibly can to be early in shul. And then to allow the 15 minutes or so that it takes to say Tfilah Zaka. My Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld Zichron Livracha used to say that if a person can, it's an incredible privilege to say it twice on Erev Yom Kippur. To say it once in the morning, and then once again when you come to shul for Kol Nidre, before Kol Nidre. It's a fabulous tefillah. Today we have Art Scroll for those people whose Hebrew is not perfect. You could get a clear understanding of what you're saying. And it's awesome in how descriptive, how clear it is in a person expressing our regret for our mistakes and pleading with Hashem to be zecha to complete tshuva. Interesting to note, the Chai Yodam, again, who lived in Europe, in those days especially, there was a custom, a minhag, to avoid eating certain foods on Erev Yom Kippur because of the fact that they are marbe zera. They increase the zera, and a person wants to be careful on Erev Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur, not to chas v'shalom have any wrong type or sinful type of emission of zera, so that he suggests, he mentions, not eating dairy, not eating eggs, certain other foods. There are many shuls that you'll see they do it. Even in Breslov, Eretz Yisrael, I saw people may have coffee, and they're not aware of this. Rav Rosenfeld didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, so sometimes he didn't see what the Breslovers did, but in this item, he taught us what the Chai Yodam says, that if possible, a person should avoid those things. There's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and it's brought that if a person eats on Erev Yom Kippur, they get credit as if they fasted 2 days. Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur. And the Arizal speaks about the great tikkun that's accomplished by eating on Erev Yom Kippur. Rav Nosson Zal mentions it in several places in Likutei Halachos, quoting the Arizal and adding his own embellishments as to the great tikkun that's accomplished on Erev Yom Kippur. I heard that the Vilna Goyen had a custom to keep a sucking candy in his mouth. All day Erev Yom Kippur, in a sense, to be oisek in this mitzvah of achilos Erev Yom Kippur the whole day. And if possible, again, for those who are not having dairy, to be able to, it should be a suda, like a sudas yontif. There's no lecha mishnah, but to make a bracha on a sholem, and to have fish and chicken or meat, lekovoid, and to say before you eat the meal, I'm eating now l'shem mitzvahs achilas Erev Yom Kippur. It's very special. The mikvah of Erev Yom Kippur is very special. There are different numbers of tefillos that people do. Some people do 13 tefillos corresponding to the 13 attributes of kindness. Some people do 50 because Yom Kippur is Bina. According to the Arizal, 4 tefillos corresponds to Hashem's name, Yudkei Vavkei, whatever a person does. But again, for the mikvah of Erev Yom Kippur, if a person can, to make sure to clean themselves before, as if a person were going for a mikvah tahara. Unfortunately, I understand that because of Corona, because of our wonderful government, certain things, the beaches, those things are open, but the mikvahs that many women have a custom to go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur in the morning to prepare for Yom Kippur, and unfortunately some of the mikvahs are closed. I'm sure we didn't cover everything. A good important note that many people aren't aware of, that on Shabbos Shuvah, the Shabbos before Yom Kippur, there's the Shabbos Shuvah Drosha. And what many people aren't aware of is that Drosha is supposed to include reviewing the laws of Yom Kippur. It's supposed to be a preparation for the laws of Yom Kippur. Today, Baruch Hashem, we're blessed with thousands of Sfarim just on this topic alone. We have a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Chayodam, other Sfarim that give you the basic halachas of Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur. Person should try to keep this day holy, the day of Erev Yom Kippur, to use the time, number one, to help out in the house, whatever help is needed, by the wife, by the husband, by the kids, and in addition, to be involved in Torah and Tefillah, and to prepare our brains for this awesome day of Yom Kippur. Paragraph Chof Beis. Rav Nosson Zal is discussing the Seder on Pesach and referring to each and every individual avoid in the Seder and connecting it to our topic and based on, again, chapter 7 in the second half of Likutei Moran. V'zeh b'chinas karpas. Everything we've been speaking about till now is related to the karpas, the vegetable that we eat in the beginning of the Seder. Shehu min yerek sho'ichlenoz. Shehu bechinas moichin de katnus. This vegetable that we eat corresponds to and represents moichin de katnus, a small consciousness. Dahainu shemaramzin. By eating this, we're hinting to the fact that afal pi sheshosinu kois rishoin, even though we already drank the first cup of the 4 cups, we made kiddush, and we've learned that kiddush and especially wine is expanded consciousness. When a person drinks wine properly, bigdusha, it opens up the brain. But still, adayin lo zochinu lechol hamatzah. We haven't yet eaten the matzah shehu meichel malochim, which is angel food. Bechinas mon. It's compared to the mon, like the Gemara says. That the Gemara says ugo shehitziu mimitzrayim. The cakes which the Jews took out of Mitzrayim, referring to the matzahs, that it tasted like mon. And we know that mon is referred to as meichel malochim, a food of angels. It's a food that didn't produce any waste matter at all. Rak onu tzrichin lizkor tchila aniyuseinu. And therefore, since we haven't yet eaten the matzah, at this point in the beginning of the Seder, we still have to remember our state of poverty, both mental poverty and poverty in general. Ki ato koidem matan Torah, because now we're at the holiday of Pesach, which is before we receive the Torah on Shavuos. Koidem isarusa de lesata, before we did what's necessary to be worthy of receiving the full measure of light of Hashem. And therefore, achiloseinu bebechinas maichel behema, at this point in time, at the beginning of the Seder, our eating is classified, it's in the status, it's like eating animal food. Bechinas, as Hashem said, that as a result of Adam and Chava eating from the Eitz Hadas, Hashem issued a curse. V'ochalto es yerek hasode. You'll eat vegetables, just like the cows, just like the animals. Machmas shepogam b'achilas Eitz Hadas. U'kemo yishom Rabbi Yisrael Zal, and as the Gemara points out in Pesachim, b'sho shomar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Adam HaRishon, v'ochalto es yerek hasode. When Hashem said to Adam HaRishon, you're going to be just like the other animals, the cows, the donkeys, the sheep, you're going to eat vegetables, nizdaze evorov. Adam HaRishon started trembling, and he said, ani v'chamoyer noichal be'evo sechot, I and a donkey are going to eat from the same trough. And then Adam HaRishon was mispalel, and then Hashem changed the curse. Hashem modified it, and ad she'omar lo, until Hashem said, "Bezeya sapecho toichal lechem," with your sweat you will eat bread. Bread is a much higher level food than vegetables. Sheromaz loy, Hashem hinted to Adam HaRishon, shal yidei yegiois va'avoidois, that through major effort and struggle, sheyisyagu Yisroel betoyro u'mitzvois, whereby the Jewish nation will struggle and put in effort in studying and fulfilling the Torah and mitzvot, yizku la'achilas lechem, will be elevated. We will rise to the level of eating bread, shehu maichal adam, which is classified as human food. So that's the symbolism when we start the Seder, that we're starting off very low. We're starting off on the bottom. We're starting off where Adam HaRishon was right after he ate from the Eitz Hadas. Paragraph Chav Gimel, v'zeh b'chinas yachatz. And then afterwards we go on to another step in the Seder where we take the middle matzah and we break it. Interesting to note, most people know you break it into a larger piece and a smaller piece. And the larger piece gets put away for the afikoman. The smaller piece remains to be used when you're going to make the bracha al achilas matzah and the koirech, sandwiched between the two shleimim, between the two complete matzahs. It's interesting to note, this again we learned from Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha, that the Arizal explains, the Zohar HaKadosh explains, that we break the matzah, we try to break it in the shape of a hey, the letter hey, meaning that the larger piece is shaped like the larger part of the hay, and the smaller piece is shaped like the leg of the hay. It doesn't have to be straight, you know, but like two-thirds and one-third, that kind of thing. Why? We start off the Haggadah with the words, Ho lachmo anya. This is the poor bread, da'acholo avasano ba'aretz, which our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. The Arizal says, hey, ho, hey aleph is, hey lachmo anya. Again, it's this letter hey, because the letter hey represents das, the hey hayedia, which we've mentioned in the past, that lechem usually is referred to as brain food, and especially matzah. Matzah is super brain food. So again, we break it in the form of this letter hey, this ho lachmo anya, and then we say di acholu avasana. D is a dalid and a yud. The letter hey is comprised of a dalid and a yud, the larger part and the smaller part. So it's ho lachmo anya, di acholu avasana b'aretz Mitzrayim. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains, she'af al pi sheboitzin uparsin oiso, even though we're breaking the matzah, i'efshir lechol takef, we're not ready to eat yet, ad she'yisapru b'yitzias Mitzrayim. Until first we'll recite a major part of the Haggadah, we'll tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Lichloil Ha'oilamois Kanal, which as we said, but we learned previously, it's through those praises of Hashem that we say in the Haggadah that we merge together the upper world and the lower world. The Oz, and after reciting a major part of the Haggadah, Yizku l'achilas matzah. Then we're ready to eat the matzah. Shehu b'chinas shtika al hakushyos, which represents a high level of das where we know to be silent regarding certain questions. Rak she'oinen olav dvorim harbe. It, however, we speak many words over the matzah. We have long discussions over the matzah. What are those discussions? Shehem shirois v'tishbachos. It's songs and praises of Hashem. Al shehoitzonu mimitzrayim, over the fact that Hashem took us out of Egypt. V'gila elokusoy leinenu, and Hashem revealed himself to us in the manner that he did. Shezeh b'chinas lechem oini. That's why the Gemara says that the matzah is referred to as lechem oini, and the word oini has multiple meanings. It's poor man's bread, number one, and at the same time, oini means to speak. The Gemara says, lechem she'oinen olav dvorim harbe. It's bread over which we speak a lot. When we have the matzah on the table by the Seder, before we eat it, we're talking a lot about the holiday of Pesach, about the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what this is referring to. Interesting to note, while we're on the topic of poor man's bread, there's a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch whether the matzah, when you eat the matzah, when you make the brocha asher kiddushonu b'mitzvoyse v'tzivonu al achilas matzah and the hamoitzi lechem in oretz, whether you put salt on it or not. We know throughout the year, throughout the rest of the year, it's very important when a person's eating bread or matz, anything like that, to put salt on it. Lechem and melach are the same letters. And we know that just like when it came to the Mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdosh, the Pasuk says, al kol korboncho takriv melach, that with all the korbonos that were brought in the Beis Hamikdosh, they always had to add salt to it. So today we don't have a Beis Hamikdosh. We're told that our table is like a mizbeach, if a person eats properly. So it's brought in halacha that when a person's eating bread, to put salt on the bread. Either you dip it in salt, and it's brought, if possible, three times, or you place salt on it three times, corresponding to three times yud kei vav kei, which is the gematria of the word lechem. And again, corresponding to the three parts of the brain that are being elevated and improved by eating bread. But the question is, now at the Seder, when we're eating this lechem oni, this poor man's bread, a poor man eats simple, no spices, no nothing. So the Beis Yosef says in Shulchan Aruch that you do not put salt on the matzah of achilas matzah. The Arizal says, like the Beis Yosef, the Ramo is the one who says you do not salt it. The Beis Yosef says yes to salt it. And the Arizal says yes to put salt on the matzah. And yet Rav Rosenfeld said he remembered growing up that his father did not. His father did not put salt on that matzah, that first kezias of matzah, of achilas matzah and koirech at the Seder. And he always wondered, because usually, especially when it comes to these kind of things, we would lean towards the Arizal. And he said years later, when he was zoicha to learn the Tikkunei Zohar, he saw that in the Tikkunei Zohar, it says clearly that the matzah mitzvah is without salt. Now, this is a very, very difficult question in a sense. Why would the Arizal differ with the Tikkunei Zohar? And Rav Rosenfeld, I believe, said he didn't have an answer for that, but he was thrilled that he found a source in Kabbalah, in Super Kabbalah, in the Tikkunei Zohar, for his father's custom of not salting the matzah mitzvah, that kezias of matzah. Again, because it's lechem oni, poor man's bread, and also lechem oini, she'oimrem olav dvorav harbe. And Rav Nosson Zal again refers us to that place in Hilchas Pesach, Halacha Tes, paragraph Beis and Hey, where he elaborates on this lechem oini. Va'ayin le'el, and also look back in our halacha, in paragraphs Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, inyin bitzias hapas, where Rav Nosson Zal discussed the significance of slicing the bread. Shehoikar livtsoya bebrocha kedinoi, that the main thing when we're slicing the bread is to do it with blessing and to do it following the halacha. Ba'oifin sheyizke oz lahamshich ha'oras harotzim b'shas ha'achila. So that the person is doing it in a manner that we're zoche to draw upon ourselves that great light called he'oras harotzim when we're going to be eating. Ayin shom, look over there. Viato, however, now, b'Pesach, on the holiday of Pesach, shehu t'chila sahiskavus, which is the beginning of our relationship with our coming close to Hashem as a nation. The first time that Klal Yisrael came to Hashem as a nation is when Moshe Rabbeinu came to take us out of Mitzrayim. So we're at the beginning of our Hiskarvus, Yefsher Lechol taketh. We're not ready. We cannot eat the matzah right away. Alkein boitzin v'shoivern hamatzah mikoidun. Therefore, we have the yachatz. We have kadesh, urchatz, karpas, yachatz. We break the matzah first, sheze b'chinas yachatz, ve'ein oichlin miyad. However, we do not eat it right away. Ad shemesadrin ha-hagodah. Until we first proceed with reciting a major part of the Haggadah, lahoyrois, to show she'ato i'efsher li'hamshich tikun ha'betziah, shehu amshoch ha'seoras ha'rotzoin kim al yidei sipur yitzias Mitzrayim. We're showing that at this point in time, we cannot draw the full blessing, the full accomplishment that we usually get from the breaking of the bread, which is to draw this he'oras ha'rotzoin on ourselves, without first reciting a major part of the Haggadah. Shalidezeh nichlolin ho'ilamos. Because it's through those praises of Hashem, and by speaking about all the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's what brings about that union of upper world and lower world, which we discussed several pages back in this halacha. And then we drink another two cups of wine besides the Kiddush. V'heim keneged shtei hayodayim hanal sheyesh b'yam hachochma. The second and third cup of wine that we're drinking at the Seder correspond to what Rabbi Nizal speaks about over there in chapter 7 in Likut Imran about the hands that are found in the Yam HaChochma, in the Sea of Chochma, Sheheim HaRemozim, which refer to the hints, certain things that cannot be said, that cannot be spoken. You can only hint to somebody through your hands what you're implying. Shemishom HaParnosa VoHaAchila. And Rabbi Nizal shows over there in Likut Imran that it's from these Yodayim Shebiyad HaChochma that we draw our parnosa and our food, shemishon he'oras harotzon. Remember, we say in Ashrei, poiseach es yodecho umasbi al chol chai. Hashem, open your hands and satiate, give sevia to all living beings. And over there in Likut Imran, in chapter 7, Rabbi Nizal goes into this much more based on the chapter Borchi Nafshi in Tehillim. Now, Rav Nosson Zalei has another note about the cups of wine. Uklal ho arba koisois, and the total picture of all four cups of wine that we're going to have at the Seder, hen keneged hamalchus. They correspond to the sphere of malchus, which means the Shekhinah, she'oile, which rises up, lekabel haparnoso mishtei hayodayim sheyesh b'yam hachochma, to receive the flow of parnoso that's coming from the hands, the two hands that are found in the yam hachochma. Shezehu arba bechinos. So we're listing four items here: chochma, the yam hachochma, malchus, ushtei hayodayim. Corresponding to that, we have these four cups of wine. Through this, we're able to receive that great light, that he'oras harotzoin, when we're eating on the highest level. And now listen to this. The alkane, and therefore, mesaimim, What's the conclusion? What's the grand finale of the Seder? The last item is called Nirtza. Nirtza means Ratzon, that Hashem has accepted, we believe, Be'emunah Shleima, we're confident that Hashem has accepted everything we've done here at the Seder night with goodwill, that Hashem is pleased, He has real nachas from everything we've done. Bechinas he'oras ha'ratzon. This shows us this concept of this light of Ratzon, betikunim nifloim, with wondrous tikunim, shezoichin al yidei kol ha'seder kanal, which we're zoiche to through this entire Seder that we performed on the night of Pesach. Two notes before we continue. Someone raised the question in the chat that on Rosh Hashanah, when we dip the challah in honey, do we place salt on the challah? And the answer is definitely yes. First, you make a moitzi, and you place salt on the challah, and you take a bite, like you usually do all year round. Then afterwards, a person dips or places honey on the challah and says the Yehi Ratzon, Yehi Ratzon shetechadei sholeinu shona toiva umesuka. And many people have the custom to do that from Rosh Hashanah through Hoshana Rabbah, this custom of dipping the challah in honey. Trying to think, what about Shmini Atzeres? Could be even Shmini Atzeres. And to say that special Yehi Ratzon. While we're mentioning the word Seder, here again, this is one of the mysteries that Rav Nosson Zal clarifies. What kind of name is that to give to a meal? The special, super special meal that we have on the night of Pesach is called a Seder. A Seder means an order. Couldn't think of a less informative name? And Rav Nosson Zal gives an incredible explanation for this. Rav Nosson Zal says this is tied into what we've been learning here. We touched on it before. That the rule, the general rule between Hashem and mankind, and especially the Jewish nation, is you make the first move and I'll make the second move. Hashem says, Shuvu Eli, you return to me, v'ashuv aleichem, and I'll return to you. During the 49 days of the Omer, we are trying to climb towards Hashem. On the 50th day, it says, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Hashem comes down towards us. But we're told that when the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, we had reached such a low, such a terrible, terrible low, that had Hashem waited for us to make a move, it would have been the end. He would have lost the whole Jewish nation. So Hashem had to break the rules. Hashem had to conduct himself lo beseder, shaloike seder. He had to violate the normal order of things and jump in and rescue us and save us. That's this concept of isarusa de leila without isarusa de lesata, where Hashem makes a move without us first having made a proper move to deserve Hashem's move. So Hashem had to act shaloike seder in order to rescue us. Therefore, on the night of Pesach, we have this special meal once a year where there's a whole sequence, 13 steps. And again, we call the meal a Seder, that was showing that we can follow a proper order. And this is the tikkun for that Shaloike Seder that Hashem had to employ in order to rescue us from Mitzrayim. We find this in a pasuk. There's a pasuk that says, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Hama'alcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, I am your Hashem who took you out of Egypt, Harchev Picha Va'amaleu. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Ma Kesher, what's the connection between the first part of the pasuk and second part? The answer is, I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt. And that was the one exception to the normal rule, where I didn't wait for you to open your mouth. I jumped in and it was a rescue mission. I had to save you. I had to be Isarusa de Leila without Isarusa de Lesata. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been any Jewish nation. But from that point on, from now on, the rule is Harchev Picha Va'amaleu. Open your mouth wide, I'll fill it. You don't open your mouth wide, you don't pray, or you don't pray enough, can't help you, can't fill it. Because again, from now on, the rule is, you have to make the first move, And then Hashem makes this corresponding move. The term He'oras HaRotzoin, which we're focusing on in this whole halacha, is the term that Rabbeinu Zal uses over there in the chapter in Likut Imran. It means a number of things. From us, it means where the person is filled with an intense, powerful longing and yearning for Hashem, a desire for Hashem, where there's nothing else I want other than Hashem, other than a closeness to Hashem, a relationship with Hashem. That's one aspect of this He'oras HaRotzoin. And the other side of it is Kaviyochel Hashem expressing His incredible desire and longing for us. Hashem's yearning and shining into us this His goodwill. Ratzon also means goodwill, appeasement. That term nirtza at the end of the Seder, which means that we acknowledge, we're acknowledging publicly, that we recognize, we believe implicitly that Hashem has accepted everything we've done here with goodwill, with joy and happiness, and Hashem is completely satisfied. Those terms, goodwill, satisfaction, appeasement, are all definitions of the term He'oras HaRotzoin from Hashem. And from our side, it's this deep yearning and longing for Hashem, for spirituality, for a deep connection with Hashem. These are some of the descriptions of this term He'oras HaRotzoin. I see somebody wrote that on each Shabbos, on Shabbos, we eat three meals, which means three times two breads, lecha mishnah, plus salt. So it's three times three, actually. It's nine times 78. Nine times 78, which is 702, which is Bigimatria Shabbos. I didn't know that. That's beautiful. Very, very powerful. Very powerful. Lechem is 78. Two lechems is 156, plus melach, adding salt to that, is another 78, and we do that three times for the three meals, it adds up to 702, which is Shabbos. Paragraph Chaf Hei, V'hakoisos bi'atzmon she'shoisen bo'em ayayin she'arba koisos. Now, it's interesting to note that in the Gemara, in Halacha, when it speaks about the four cups of wine that we drink at the Seder, it doesn't say four wines, it says four cups. It's called Arba Koisos, emphasizing the word cup, four cups. We don't even say Arba Koisos Yain, we say Arba Koisos, and everybody knows what we mean. Rav Nosson Zal is going to show us now the significance of that word kois. V'hakoisos bi'atzmon she'shoisen b'mayayin shel Arba Koisos. And the cups themselves, in which we drink these four cups of wine, hein bechinas yira. They represent, the cup itself represents yira, the attribute of yira, fear, respect. Ki kois bigematri elikim kamuva. Because the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the word kois is bigematria Hashem's name elikim, shehu bechinas yira. That name of Hashem is associated with Yira. Bechinas, as we find Yosef HaTzadik said to his brothers, Es ho Elohim ani yorei, I respect Hashem. And again, it's the name Elohim that's used. Ki kol ha-bechinos hanal klulim ba-yira shehu bechinas malchus kimavur ha-ba-toyonal. Because everything we've spoken about so far, everything is all tied into Yira, which is Malchus, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in chapter 7 in Likut Imran. We know we have that famous statement in Pirkei Avos, Il mole moiro'o shel Malchus. Were it not for fear and respect for authority, for kingdom, people would swallow each other up alive. So Yira and Malchus go together. And over there in Likut Imran, Rabbeinu Zal shows towards the beginning of that Torah that all of this is tied into Yira, Yira Shemayim. V'alkein kinu shtia sayayin rak al shem hakoisos. And this is why the rabbis in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, when they speak about drinking the wine at the Seder, they don't speak about the wine, they speak about four cups, koisos. She'amru she'tzrichen lishtois arba koisos. They say we have to drink four cups. Ki hayayin shehu b'chinas hamshochas harotzoin, because the wine, which we said represents drawing this rotzoin upon us, ein yecholin lahamshichoy ulekabloi kiim alidei hayira. It is impossible for us to draw that rotzoin, that goodwill on the part of Hashem, that longing, that desire, without yira, which is synonymous shubachinas malchus. The sphere of Malchus, which rises up and receives the Parnasa from the Yam HaChochma. The Gam Kol He'oras Ben V'Talmid. And so too, what we mentioned earlier in this halacha, the light which the rabbi conveys to his son and to his student, HaKol Bebechinas Yira. It's all tied into this attribute of Yira, Kamei Shekosu Shon, as Rabbi Nizal explains over there in Likutei Moran. I just want to clarify a little this paragraph, because the Arizal speaks about this in several places, and Rabbi Nosson Zal mentions this in several places. When we talk about the Sfirois, the Midois of Hashem, Malchus is the lowest one of the ten. Malchus is on bottom. But Malchus is referred to as a moving target. And Malchus represents also the wife, the Shekhinah. And we know that the Shekhinah, the wife, can be in several different positions corresponding to the husband, to the male. There are times there's a concept of the wife being beneath the husband. There's a pasuk in the Chumash, V'hu yimshoel boch, he will rule over you, implying the husband on top, the wife on bottom. There's another relationship where the husband and wife are side by side. And then there's a concept of eshes chayil ateres bala. There's a concept of the woman rising up and becoming the crown on her husband's head. A crown is above the head, so that the malchus, the shekhinah, kaviyochel, can move around and take different positions. What Rav Nosson Zal was referring to over here, when he spoke about the Malchus being elevated and receiving from the Yodayim Shebeyam HaChochma, Rav Nosson Zal discusses this also regarding Kiddush Friday night, based on the writings of the Arizal, that the wine that we're drinking, the wine is associated with Malchus. It says in Megillas Esther, the Yain Malchus Rav Kiyad HaMelech. The royal wine was plentiful. So wine is associated with Malchus. Wine, Yain, is Bigimatria 70, corresponding to the sphere of Malchus, which is the seventh one of the lower seven ones. So now, on Friday night, we're supposed to take the cup of wine and from the table and pick it up with both hands. And pick it up and hold it, elevate it above our legs, sort of to the stomach area, to that area. Now the two hands represent chesed and gvura. The two hands are reaching down and lifting up the malchus and elevating it above netzach and hoid, above the legs, lifting it up towards the bottom of the chest, that area. And then it's the person switches into holding the cup in one hand, only in the right hand, because we want to emphasize the right, the chesed. And then it's brought, noisein einov bayayin. You're supposed to look at the wine, especially when you make the boyer pri agofen and the second bracha. The eyes, in this context, represent chachma. Vatipokachno einei shnehem. It says, when Adam and Chava ate from the tzadas, their eyes we were opened with pikeach. Pikeach means smart. So in this manner, we're taking the Shekhinah, which is represented by that wine, that cup of wine, that kois, the Elohim and the Yayin. We're lifting it up. We're lifting it up first past the legs, lifting it up to the hands, the area of the hands, which is Chesed Gvur Tiferes. And then by looking at it, we're shining into it from the Chachma. Just like Rabbeinu Zal here spoke about the whole concept of parnosa and shefa, that it's based on the elevation of the malchus, to be able to receive from the yodayim shebiyam hachochma. This is not a kabbalah shir. We're trying to just give a little bit of insight, a little bit of clarification as to what's going on here. Any questions, please?
I saw once in Rav Shushan Raphael Hirsch, who points out that every day of the year, we bring a korban tomei shel boker, a korban tomei shel bein harabayit. And those are the korbanos that are brought by the whole tzibur, because they represent the avoda of the whole tzibur. And all the other korbanos come between those two. And the only korban in the whole korban in the whole year that doesn't come between those two is the korban Pesach, which comes after the tomei shel bein harabayit, to show us that was the korban that made us into a people.
Beautiful, beautiful. Very, very nice. Okay, I believe we're going to hold it over here for now. It's Erev Yom Kippur. Everyone has a lot of preparations. And the next paragraph, Chavov, is a little bit longer, where Rabbi Nosson is going to go into a beautiful explanation of why we wash our hands twice at the Seder. We wash our hands once before the Karpas, and then once before we eat the Matzah. And we'll take this up in Yitz Hashem in the next year, which will be on the day after Yom Kippur, Mitz Hashem, which is called Shem Hashem. And we'll touch on that, Mitz Hashem, after Yom Kippur. Want to wish everyone a meaningful fast, a meaningful Yom Kippur. We should be zeicher that today should be a combination of Vigilu Birada, to be thrilled how happy we are that we're zeicher to be in Eretz Yisrael, those of us that are here in Eretz Yisrael, and those that aren't physically in Eretz Yisrael are connected to Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. And that we believe in Hashem, we believe in Yom Kippur. The Gemara says a person who doesn't believe that Yom Kippur forgives, then for that person it doesn't. And a person who does believe, we say, Ki vayoyim hazeh yechaper aleichem, on this day, Hashem will atone for us. Lifnei Hashem titoru, we will be purified on this day. And we mentioned in the past, I heard from my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld, it could have said, Ki hayoim hazeh yechaper, this day forgives, because the Gemara uses the wording, Yom Kippur mechaper, Yom Kippur forgives. It doesn't say that. It says, Ki bayoim hazeh, on this day, yechaper, he will forgive. Who's the he? The he is always referring to the keser, the hiddenness of Hashem. Because we always said, when someone's in front of you, you use the word you, atah, you. When we're speaking about someone who's hidden from us, they're in a different room, they're in a different city, we use the pronoun he or she. So by saying the word yechaper, we're implying that this is coming from that top floor, from the keser. That from there, that's where the kapara comes from on Yom Kippur, from the highest level of Rachmanis of Hashem. And that's why we finish by saying, Lifnei Hashem titoru. We will be purified before Hashem. The word titoru is bigematria keser, referring to the highest possible level of rachamim, of kindness of Hashem. Just like Yom Kippur is the 10th day on Rosh Hashanah, we started with Malchus, and the 10 days of tshuva leading to Yom Kippur, which again is the keser. And Yom Kippur is the day when the Kohen Gadol entered into the 10th level of holiness, the Kodesh HaKodoshim, the Holy of Holies, which the mission in Kalim lists 10 levels of holiness in the world. Level 1 is Eretz Yisrael, level 2 is Yerushalayim, and you keep going higher and higher until you get to the Kodesh HaKodoshim, which is level 10. That's what Yom Kippur is. Today we don't have a Kohen Gadol, we don't have a Kodesh HaKodoshim, but we have something which is equal or bigger. The Gemara says, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Yekarohi Mipninin. She is more precious, she is greater than pearls, referring to the Torah, that the Talmud Chacham, a true Talmud Chacham, is more precious than Pninim. Pninim means pearls, and Pninim refers to the Kohen Gadol, who went lifnai velifnim, into the inner sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the word pninim. That the Kohen Gadol, the Talmud Chacham, the Tzadik Emes, is Yekorahi Mepninim, is more powerful even than the Kohen Gadol when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There are certain things that the Gemara says Yom Kippur doesn't forgive for. And the tzaddik has the power. There's a pasuk. Rabbi Nizal quotes this pasuk in the Likutei Moharan, Chamas Melech Malachim Moves, that the anger of Hashem sometimes manifests itself in angels of death, meaning that there are certain things which even Yom Kippur doesn't forgive. It's only death that atones. But the pasuk says Ve'ish Chacham Yechaprena, but the Talmud Chacham can forgive, can atone even those things for which Yom Kippur usually cannot forgive. The Kohen Gadol can't, but rather only death forgives for it. Those things, the Ish Chacham Yechaprena, the Chacham, the Tzaddik, can. The last letters of the Ish Chacham Yechaprena spell the word Moshe, that a Tzaddik Emes, who is Bechinas Moshe Rabbeinu, he can atone even for those things. Somebody asked about a pasuk showing when the relationship between the male and female are equal. I don't remember. I don't remember if there is a specific pasuk. Very likely. But this is discussed in the Tikkuni Zohar. It speaks about the letter Vav and the letter Yud. I'm sorry, the letter Vav and the letter Yud also. But also the Dat. We know that in the Hebrew language, you can have a Vav with a dot under it, which would be V. You can have the letter Vav with a dot alongside of it, which is the U sound. And you have the letter Vav with a dot above it, which is the Oi sound. And the Tikkuni Zohar explains the Vav represents the six spheroids, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoid, Yesoid, which are the male. The dot represents the female, the Shekhinah, which is compared to a Nekuda, a dot. So that dot can take three positions. The dot can be under the Vav, it can be side by side with the Vav, or on top of the Vav. We should be zeicher that all the Noshim Sidkonios in Klal Yisrael, the ones that go to the mikveh usually, the ones that want to go, the ones that prepare the food for Erev Yom Kippur, number one, that all of us should ask forgiveness from our wives, from our husbands, for anything we might have done throughout the year, intentionally, unintentionally, that we hurt any feelings. We ask for forgiveness and bezeicha to go into this yontif with simcha vegilu birada, with simcha and trembling, with real proper yira digdusha, which is the key to everything. The importance of working on the sukkah after Yom Kippur, it's brought that from once that there's, when a person has sins, there's a pasuk, edag mechatosi, I worry from my sins. That's, as so long as a person has sins, the person is still in a state of worry a little bit. So therefore, that's why some people do not build the sukkah before Yom Kippur. They wait till after Yom Kippur. When we come out of shul, after Yom Kippur, when the Shulchan Aruch says that a person should feel, be confident, that now we have a clean slate. We hope and we believe that Hashem has forgiven everything, all of our sins. Now that there's no sins, I can really be besimcha. So now I start the yontif of sukkahs by starting to build my sukkah on Motzei Yom Kippur. That's the custom that my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld followed. There are some that do it before Yom Kippur, in order that should be an additional schus. I'm going into Yom Kippur, I want to have another mitzvah, the time and effort and expense that I spent in putting up the sukkah. Both are obviously holy menhagim.
Yeah, Rav Nachman, I just wanted to add something that you said at the beginning of this year about not eating milchik and all different things which bring there.
Yes.
So one of the opinions, Mishnah Berurah says that it's talking about some of tzek, it's not in the morning. So maybe it's a schus on this vegetables who eat in the morning, who drink.
Exactly.
In the morning, coffee with tea.
Exactly. I did hear that also. Very good. Very good. Again.
Yeah. One more thing is that it's brought down about salt, dipping in salt. In Yishuv Ha'orah, is that there's like three different customs. about dipping in sulfur. Rav Chaim says he used to dip not in the salt, in the sugar, and afterwards in honey. And Rav Zonon says, Rav Yerushalayim used to dip one side of bread in the salt and one side of the bread in honey, because salt and honey, they don't taste good. So that's how he came out from the situation. And even the literature poskim, like Chazanish and Chaim Kanevsky, they and Shlomo Zalman Orbach, they don't dip in the salt, but they put the salt on the table, you know.
Beautiful,
just,
beautiful.
Interesting.
Yashikoyach for adding good, beautiful things, Baruch Hashem. Yashikoyach.
Thank you so much.
I want to apologize to everyone. Sometimes we say things unintentionally. If we slighted anybody in any way throughout the year, in any manner, asking forgiveness from everybody, and Hashem should help that by us being ready and quick to forgive anyone that wronged us in any kind of way, everyone else should have a willingness to forgive us. This is one of the things we mention in Tefillah Zakah, that we forgive anyone who might have wronged us in any kind of way, and we hope that in that zechus, Hashem will put it in their hearts to be willing to forgive us completely for anything we might have done against them, Baruch Hashem. Wishing everybody a gemach sima toiva, a good, sweet geben shtiyar.
Thank you so much, Rav Nosson. In terms of the money for the pigeon,
yes.
Is this something, any specific... Can we send it for...
Definitely. If anyone wants to donate the kaporis money or the pigeon money, welcome to do it through our website. Anyway, throughout this period of time, there are many people, Baruch Hashem, in Breslov that need help, that need financial help for Yontif, for Yom Kippur, for Sukkos, and Baruch Hashem, we're involved in that. So if anyone wants to direct any of that money towards us, welcome to do it. Appreciate it.
Those people who are still in Uman... still say Tikkun Klali at 12 o'clock?
On Erev Yom Kippur you're talking about, or on Erev Rosh Hashanah?
The whole time. We were told that throughout Elul they were saying it.
Ah, correct. That was being said up to and including Erev Rosh Hashanah. That was when that was stopped. We did it every day leading up to Rosh Hashanah as a means of praying hard that those who want to come to Uman should be able to come. That was the focus of that. But again, Erev Rosh Hashanah was the last day that it was done publicly in that manner, as far as I know. All the best.
Could we consider having a joint Tikkun Klali at the end of this year every day?
Ah, for those that can. Those that are joining us for the shir, for many people, that takes a tremendous effort, you know, in terms of setting aside the time b'kviyas. I'm hesitant a little bit to impose something extra like that. But again, Tikkun Klali, for those that can, is a very, very good thing to say daily. Daily. It's a tremendous privilege to recite the Tikkun HaKlali daily.
Can you just comment on Tashlich, there's no water by?
Interesting. There are people that are in locations where they don't have water, a water area on during Rosh Hashanah. So many, that can be done till Hoshana Rabbah. I remember my Rebbe Rav Rosenfels, Rav Rocha, lived in a location where he didn't have it when he wasn't able to go to, you know, when he was in Brooklyn for Rosh Hashanah, didn't have it. And then on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, or during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, he would drive to a place where there was a body of water and say the Tashlich there. Now with the lockdown, if people can't get there in any manner, I believe you can still say the Tefillah of Tashlich even if you're not near a body of water. I'm pretty positive. All the best.
Mark Simatova.
Mark Simatova to everyone.
Thank you so much, Ramos.
All the best.
Thank you so much.
To all.
Again, the Zerchat to have us here. Thank you.